Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show with Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. And we're very pleased to welcome Michael Singh, the Lane Swig Senior Fellow and Managing Director at the Washington Institute, former Senior Director for Middle East Affairs, National Security Council. Michael, it's wonderful to have you back again. The Zarif tapes, of course. What else? Your thoughts. Malcolm has already expressed his thoughts that there were a lot of pat explanations on the Zarif tapes that might have been purposeful. How do you measure the Zarif tapes, what we know so far? Good evening to you, Michael.
Well, good evening. You know, of course, it's always hard to know in the case of a leak, first, whether what's been leaked is genuine, and second, what the motivation behind the leak might be. But if you look at the substance of what Foreign Minister Zarif says in these purported leaked tapes, there really isn't anything too surprising, nothing that would shock anyone who's been following Iran for some time. The idea, for example, that Iran has evolved into a sort of quasi-military dictatorship is something that a lot of Iran analysts have been saying for some time. The idea that the Revolutionary Guards call the shots, that the supreme leader is ultimately the one in charge of nuclear decision-making, again, these aren't shocking. You know, and frankly, this shouldn't come as a surprise to us that the diplomatic arm, that the foreign ministry in this kind of regime, frankly, doesn't have a significant role or a decisive role, at least, in strategic issues like a nuclear program.
Were you surprised, though, about his attack on Soleimani, that this revered figure icon, that he would release the kind of verbiage that he did, and especially given that people in the know in Iran have indicated that this was not a leak, this was very deliberate release of this document, of the interview?
Well, there has been a lot of rivalry between the Revolutionary Guard Corps, including, of course, the Quds Force, which Soleimani headed, which is the elite service, as it were, of the Revolutionary Guard Corps, and the sort of civilian authorities in Iran. So, for example, when Hassan Rouhani, the current president of Iran, came into power, you know, one of his initial acts was to replace a lot of IRGC figures who had been put in domestic leadership positions, governorships, for example, throughout Iran. And Rouhani has been pretty critical of the role of the Revolutionary Guards in Iran's economy, in Iran's governance, and so forth. Where they don't really seem to disagree significantly is on Iran's regional policy, although the Zarif tape indicates even some tension there when it comes to, for example, the Revolutionary Guard's role in sending ambassadors, selecting ambassadors from Iran to countries like Iraq and Syria and so forth.
No, I wanted to follow up on Iran and these purposeful leaks. Is there any timing to this, Michael, that makes sense? Why now and not then?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of a parlor game, John. I mean, folks will have different theories as to, well, you know, why was this leaked and why now and so forth. Obviously, we're approaching presidential elections in Iran. It is a time that is very political, where different factions are trying to jockey with one another ahead of the polling. And that may be a factor in the timing. It may be that this sort of big decision about returning to compliance with the nuclear deal is also potentially a factor in the timing. But I think the reality is we don't know. At least I don't know at this stage. And all we can do is speculate.
Go ahead, Malcolm.
But the talks between or supposed talks between Saudi Arabia and Iran, A, do you think they took place? And B, what's the motivation? Is it really a resolution in Yemen? Was it just a show for other purposes?
Well, you know, the fact that they took place in the intelligence channel if they took place at all, means that we probably won't learn that much about them or get a confirmation one way or another as to whether they took place. But look, it's not so unusual that necessarily that these types of security services would meet behind the scenes, not necessarily to, you know, achieve great resolutions to the sort of regional issues of the day, but maybe to try to bring about at least a de-escalation in tensions, a sort of, you know, a bit more of a modus vivendi. It's the sort of thing we've seen in the past. And frankly, the Iraqis, if in fact they did host this meeting, as has been reported, have a vested interest in trying to keep countries like Iran and Saudi Arabia, but especially Iran, from using Iraq as sort of a proxy battleground in this sort of regional conflagration that exists between Iran and other states. You know, for example, during the Bush administration, one thing that that U.S. officials did was they brought together Iranian and Iraqi officials in that case, without Saudi officials, again, to try to de-escalate the Shia militia activity, especially in Iraq. So it wouldn't be unprecedented for this type of meeting to take place, again, with a de-escalatory purpose in mind.
Go ahead, Malcolm.
Well, I wanted to ask about Zarif's visit then to Iraq. Comes at a, as we see increased pressure by Khatami to curb the Iranian support for the militia groups there, which are blamed for the attacks both on Iraq and the Kurdistan region. So how is his balancing act of Iraq's emerging role as a mediator, perhaps in this in these kind of disputes, and to pledge to dilute the influence of the Iranian PMF apparatus?
Well, I don't know that we should read too much into the Iraqi role here, in the sense that I don't know that Iraq is mediating. It may have just been hosting this discussion. And we don't really know what issues may have been on the table. And so it may have been that the issues on the table were very much focused, for example, on what was happening inside Iraq, which, of course, would give Iraq a natural role. You would want Iraq, of course, to be at the table for any such discussion. I don't know that that means, and frankly, I'm doubtful that that means that we would see Iraq become, you know, a la Oman, a sort of mediator between Iran and other Arab states on a broader range of issues. And frankly, I think we should be cautious in overinterpreting this meeting. I don't think that, for example, there's any kind of resolution looming between Iran and, say, Saudi Arabia on their differences over Yemen. Iran and the Saudis, actually, they've talked from time to time. We tend to treat these things as groundbreaking when they happen. But Iran and Saudi Arabia, for example, frequently have dialogue on the issue of, say, Hajj pilgrims. This has happened many times over the years. It doesn't necessarily lead to anything bigger. It would be great, in a sense, if it did, if it led to a de-escalation of regional tensions. But I think at this stage, we have to sort of keep our optimism in check.
Michael, Malcolm's given me, we have a couple of minutes. Malcolm's given me the understanding that the provocations in the Gulf, especially making fast runs at U.S. Navy warships, that pattern has picked up recently. Is that accurate, and is there an explanation for it, especially in these last hours?
Yes, it does seem to have picked up. We've had a couple of incidents in just recent days, and of course, if I recall correctly, we saw U.S. Naval vessels firing warning shots at Iranian vessels. This, of course, follows on a real intensification of Iran-Israel maritime confrontations, which have picked up significantly since 2019. You know, the Iranians do this basically to show the flag, to sort of demonstrate that they're willing to stand up to the United States, to make trouble, perhaps to create tensions that then diplomats will work to de-escalate. But really, it's just sort of business as usual, unfortunately, for Iran. This is the way it operates. It operates in a provocative and unsafe and, frankly, outrageous manner in the Persian Gulf. And when we extend that to the Red Sea, to the Arabian Sea, what we've seen is that Iran has been determined to, for example, supply oil to the Assad regime. That has produced pushback from Israel. And we have seen, again, that type of maritime activity intensify as well. I would argue that, in fact, that's the more serious story here, is the Iran-Israel clashes that we've seen, whereas the Iranian provocations of the U.S. Navy, I trust the U.S. Navy is going to be able to take care of it.
Michael Singh is the managing director at the Washington Institute, former senior director for Middle East Affairs at the National Security Council. Malcolm Honlein, I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.